Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm Katie Mox, and coming up on today's show, Fernando Tatis Jr. received an 80-game suspension for PEDs. So how will that affect the Padres' odds? We will break it all down. Plus, the NFL preseason is underway. We'll chat about what we've seen so far, plus some previews for the Week 1 matchups. And of course, I will give you my Mox Locks. But before we get into all of that, let's welcome in Mr. Kenny Betts Big. Kenny, how's your week?
Not too bad. Friday, I went out to the Eagles game and I mingled with the Eagles fans at the at the tailgate.
Always interesting. Always interesting.
Yeah, interesting for sure. So that was fun. You know, I just went out, had a couple drinks out there, mingled, you know, met the fans, and you know, it was a cool experience. Never done anything like that. And then yesterday, I just went out, had some drinks with my girlfriend. You know, the usual.
Nice.
How about you? How was your weekend?
My weekend was great. I'm trying to think if I did anything all that exciting, and I did not. But I will say I did go to an Eagles game once last year. It was actually the last game of the regular season when they played the Cowboys, and it was pretty electric, even though it was a game that didn't really count. Both teams were headed to the playoffs. It was a fun one. Did you have a Philly cheesesteak? They've got some good tailgates cheesesteaks there.
So, yeah, I actually did. I didn't get it at the tailgate. I went to, like, what is it, like, Patch cheesesteaks. It's supposed to be like one of the more popular ones in Philly. Wildly disappointing. Very, very disappointing cheesesteak. And maybe it wasn't the best place. Maybe I chose wrong. But I remember them being better when I've had them when I was younger. Yeah. This one, not so much.
All right. Well, I'll knock that off the list. I had the best Philly cheesesteak of my life at a tailgate, but it was a chef that had come and it was like a whole thing. Yeah, it was very fancy. I don't know what kind of cheese was on it. He had a mixture of like five or six different cheeses, but it was absolutely incredible. But Kenny, stay right there because I'm going to get into my mock thought of the day. So Friday, it was announced that Padres shortstop Fernando Tatis Jr. was suspended for 80 games for PEDs. When the Padres acquired Juan Soto at the deadline, things were looking bright for San Diego, and now they may have to come back down to earth. So let's take a look at the odds shift on Caesars Sportsbook. To win the NL pennant before the Soto trade, they're at plus 1,000. And after Soto trade, it went to plus 475. After Tatis suspension, it dropped to plus 850. Odds to win the World Series before the Soto trade were at plus 2200, after the Soto trade at plus 800, and then after the suspension at plus 1600. So is it time to give up on the Padres? I will say maybe. I mean, I think if you got an early ticket for them to win the World Series, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, and they're at plus 2,200, it's still an interesting ticket to hold on to. They haven't had Tatis all season long, and they've pretty much been in a playoff position for the entire season. They're second in the NL West behind the Dodgers, which I know doesn't say too much because there's the Dodgers, and then there's the Padres, and then, of course, you got the Giants, the Diamondbacks, and the Rockies, who aren't that exciting this season. But they still have one of the stronger pitching rotations, and they just got Josh Hader. And look, they didn't lose Manny Machado, who's really been their power bat and a reason why they've been playing so well. And, you know, we got Juan Soto, so you got to expect that he's going to do something. I don't think they were ever going to win the division title. They're 14 games right now behind the Dodgers, but they're still in playoff contention. And I still think it's an interesting bet. I'm not saying I'd put the money on them right now, but if I had a futures ticket on it, I'd be fine with it. I'd like to see how that plays out. All right, people, we're brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app ever, and honestly, the only one you need. It's not just about the big bonuses and boosts and promos that you get. It's the fact that every time you bet, whether you win or lose, you're earning towards the types of perks only Caesars can offer: free stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. That's because when you download the Caesars Sportsbook app, you become a Caesars Rewards member, and that means perks. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, let's bring back in Kenny to the chat here. Kenny, you heard what I had to say about the Padres. I'm not sure you really give up on them, but they're not as sexy of a pick anymore. How do you feel about the Padres' odds now?
Definitely not as sexy of a pick. Unfortunately, we're going to have to wait till next season to see that trio of Machado, yes, Soto, and Tatis Jr. But honestly, I don't think the Padres were really ever the team to win it, in my opinion, right? We talked about it a couple weeks ago when they got Juan Soto. And the Padres, they're kind of always the Padres. We saw what happened to them in the playoffs last year. You know, they collapsed down the end. Everyone, you know, they going through the regular season, they looked unstoppable. Tatis Jr. looked like the best player in baseball at some point last year. And then the wheels fell off and the Padres were the Padres. Looking at this year, the Dodgers, in my opinion, you know, way ahead of the Padres. The Mets with DeGrom back, like DeGrom is picked up right where he left off last year before he went down with the injury. So when you look at the other teams in the NL, I know they got Hader. That's a nice pickup. But, you know, long-term value, I think the Mets or the Dodgers are going to be the two teams that really, you know, at the end, they're the ones fighting it out for who goes to the World Series to represent the NL. So, you know, big loss, Tatis Jr., huge player. I don't know if you – did you see his excuse that he came up with, though?
Well, yeah, and I don't think anyone's believing that. He said it was ringworm, but it seems to be that a lot of insiders are saying that because of his motorcycle accident that he got in, that he also kind of tried to heal, didn't get his surgery on time. He wanted to speed up that healing process, which to me makes more sense. But I just can't imagine how disappointed the organization and his teammates are in him right now.
Yeah, they didn't really hold back. The GM, yeah, you know, he came out and said there has to be some maturing that takes place because, like you said, at first he was lying about the motorcycle accident, yes, that had kept him sidelined for the whole season. You know, most teams, when you give out hundreds of millions of dollars a contract, oof, they're going to void that contract at some point. Yeah. And the Padres, I was doing some reading on it. I think they have a few options to like get out of that contract, wow, going forward. So, you know, he better smarten up or something because yeah, you definitely don't want to lose all that money. And he has a ton of talent. Definitely could have helped the team this year. Unfortunate to see, but yeah, I was reading his excuses. He was saying it was he used a totally different drug name. Like I think he got, ooh, caught for Clostable.
Yeah,
but there's another thing called like Clobastel, oh, which is an actual ingredient used in like fungus medications. So yeah, I guess he mixed, wow, those up. And I was reading a tweet, like a dermatologist tweeted out. And he was saying, we don't ever prescribe anything with that drug in there. So I think someone on his PR team did a bad Google job for him.
I doubt it was. As a former publicist, I could tell you that his PR team definitely didn't have anything to do with that. I think he went rogue on that one because his PR team would have their ducks in a row. Because again, a former publicist, I would lose my mind if he had lied about something like that. Okay, so let's keep it right now in the NL West and talk Dodgers. They'd won 12 in a row before their first loss yesterday. And now they are the sole favorites to win the World Series at plus 360. They're in front of the Astros at plus 400, the Yankees at plus 430, and your Mets at plus 475. Do you view the Dodgers as the clear new favorite to win the World Series?
I mean, this may be a biased fan talk, but no, it's got to be the Mets, right?
Not the Yankees?
No, honestly, I think if I was going to put money down on a World Series matchup, it would be Astros-Mets. I don't think we're going to get the Subway Series that everyone is hoping for, unfortunately.
Why? Why? Just because they're slipping a little bit? Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to beat the Yankees in the World Series. That, let me tell you, as a Mets fan who's been waiting for one, you know, that would be the ultimate, you know, cherry on top. We win it by beating the Yankees. The Dodgers look very good. The lineup's scary. Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, Trey Turner. We all know the pieces that they have. But honestly, if the Mets are healthy, and it's a big question mark because, you know, Jacob deGrom, he hasn't been able to stay healthy, you know, for a couple of years now. But if the Mets are healthy, I think the Mets have a very, very good shot to win it. You know, when you throw out in a seven-game series, if you're throwing out Jacob deGrom, Max Scherzer, you can pitch those guys four out of the seven games. You move maybe a Carrasco or a McGill back to the bullpen. Now your bullpen's deeper. And then we got the best closer in baseball right now, Edwin Diaz. Guy's unhittable. And the lineup, they just produce. Like, you know, I think they're the number one team in baseball as far as working the pitcher's pitch count. Like, if you watch them on a game-by-game basis, it seems almost every game in the first inning, the opposing pitcher is throwing 20, 30 pitches. Mm. The lineup is – and a lot of that can be accredited to Buck Showalter. He's really instilled in them to just be patient, you know, work the pitches. You don't need just that home run ball. And you can see from the top to the bottom of that lineup, the atmosphere on the team is totally different this year. So I really think this could be the Mets' year. Knock on wood. But yeah, I like our chances.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Mets. I still am high on the Yankees. I got a couple of futures tickets on them, so I'm not willing to jump ship quite yet. But when I look at the Dodgers, they win a ton of games in the regular season almost every single year, and they don't make it all the way. I believe that they won the World Series in the shortened series season, right, in 2020. But the last few years, they've been great in the regular season, and then it hasn't really paid off in the playoffs. So I'm hesitant to put any money on them. I'm still rooting for the Subway Series and I like the Yankees here, but I'll agree with you that I don't believe that the Dodgers are the clear favorites. You mentioned the Mets here. They've won 16 of their last 20 and their odds have shifted to plus 475. Do the Mets have a real chance in the postseason? What's your confidence level? I mean, I know you just kind of went over this right now, so...
Confidence is at an all-time high. You know, it feels good to be a Mets fan right now. And we haven't been able to say that for too long, because even going back a few years ago when we had like the pitching trio of Syndergaard, DeGrom, Matt Harvey, and Steven Matz was supposed to be the next big lefty in baseball, that did not come to fruition. That, you know, went down in flames. Like, Matt Harvey fell apart. Noah Syndergaard couldn't stay healthy to save his life on the Mets. And Steven Matz was not what any Mets fan expected Steven Matz to be. So finally, for once, I feel pretty good. And it feels good because I haven't been able to say this, but New York is the Mets town now.
Wow. I think there's a lot of Yankees fan in this city that would disagree with you. But I'm fairly confident in the Mets. And I wasn't high on them in the beginning of the season. But when I looked at some of their stats, they're 21-8 against expected playoff teams. That's a pretty incredible number, though. Their starting rotation, of course, is amazing. You've got DeGrom, who's back, who just, like you said, picked up right where he left off. Scherzer, Bassett, Walker. But I feel like there's been a growing trend in the MLB where they're pulling starting pitchers really quickly as soon as there's any kind of trouble, and that heightens a little bit in the playoffs. How do you feel about their kind of middle rotation there? Do you think that could be a weak spot for them?
Yeah, it's certainly a weak spot right now. But like I said, if McGill comes back and he's able to pitch, you can put someone like him in the bullpen. Carrasco, you can move him to the bullpen. They have so many different options because of having Scherzer and DeGrom at the top of that lineup, that if you were to throw out, you know, DeGrom, Scherzer, Bassett, and then throw in another name, but if you moved Carrasco or McGill to the bullpen, now you've instantly, without having to trade for any relievers, like, I was pretty upset they didn't go get anyone. But it wasn't the worst case, because they still have some options to move people around and move them in to bolster up that, you know, middle of the relief. So,
okay, well, let's switch gears and talk football, because the NFL preseason is underway. So excited. But bad news for the Jets, which I feel like the amount of times I say bad news for the Jets this season, this is the first time, but there will definitely be more. Zach Wilson suffered a bone bruise and a torn meniscus. He will require surgery and will be out 2 to 4 weeks, which of course is better than initially thought. I think a lot of people thought it was going to be his ACL and he was going to be out for the entire season. So did they dodge a bullet here? And how do you think that this affects the Jets?
I want to say I'm surprised, and, you know, obviously you don't ever wish injury on anyone, but it's the Jets. The Jets always Sanchez, seem to somehow screw it up. Like, I think we both talked about this, actually, where the Jets, there's all this hype around them. I think they, last week, on last week's episode, what did you say? Caesar said they have the most money and tickets on them to win the AFC East.
Insane. Yes. Yeah, because it was at plus 22,000 or something. Really insane.
the New Yorkers going for their lotto ticket. They didn't hit the Powerball, but they're going for the Jets lotto ticket. Yeah, I mean, they definitely dodged a bullet. You know, luckily for him, it wasn't the ACL, because you never want to see someone go down, miss a whole season. It's so tough to come back from that injury. You know, 2 to 4 weeks, I'm hearing, is what he's expected to be out. Obviously, depending how his rehab goes, it could be a little longer. But I mean, it doesn't change anything. Like, his first series, he threw a pick. He was Zach Wilson, in my opinion, is not very good. He's not taking the Jets to the playoffs. Yeah. They're not winning a Super Bowl with Zach Wilson, at least anytime soon. So nothing changed. If anything, it just got easier for the Patriots and, you know, those teams. Two easy wins now when you play the Jets.
Yeah, look, I was never high on the Jets. I had them under their win total. So him being out 2 to 4 makes that look more attractive. I do think that that win total has dropped, I believe, to 4.5. I don't know where it settled now, but it went from 6 down to 4.5, which is a pretty big drop initially. Being out 2 to 4 weeks is great. For me, what I thought was the most interesting was Jimmy Garoppolo. I thought potentially if Zach Wilson is going to be out for an entire season, that could be a good place for Jimmy to go. Obviously, he's very familiar with Robert Saleh and with McClure, who is their offensive coordinator. But just being out 2 to 4 weeks, plus they've got Flacco, that's no longer a place where Jimmy Garoppolo could go. But I didn't have too much faith in the Jets originally. Now, if Jimmy went there, that would be interesting to see how that went, because I do think they have some good pieces. But I guess we'll have to see what happens with Deshaun Watson to see if Jimmy goes there. Otherwise, I don't know where Jimmy's going to go. So that will be that's a whole other topic.
Yeah, definitely. Jimmy G in the white and green for the Jets, that would be interesting. Yeah. He's kind of that big name. He's a Hollywood player. I feel like he likes the spotlight. Yes. I think him in the Jets, New York City, would have been a good fit for sure. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, well, of course, that's my first thought. I mean, you see Jimmy Garoppolo back here in my background. That's kind of, and I'm like, oh, come here to New York, Jimmy. We will welcome you with open arms. Okay, so I don't know how many preseason games you watched. I bet a couple preseasons on the Friday show, and none of those cashed. Interestingly enough, usually unders are a good bet for NFL preseason, but I believe there's been like 10 overs so far, which is crazy and a little bit different. Anything stick out to you in preseason? Of course, my favorite thing was seeing Trey Lance throw that 66-yard bomb. That's exactly what we wanted from him, so that's exciting.
I mean, aside from that, Eagles fans are the craziest. They are. One of the questions was that I was asking everyone is like, how does it feel to be like the most hated fan base in all sports? And man, I must have asked like 20, 30 people that question. They all said the same exact thing. They absolutely love being hated. that was pretty interesting. Yes. I didn't watch too much of the preseason games, I'll be honest, but I did see Trey Lance. Mm-hmm. He does look good. So now I see why Jimmy G is getting benched. Makes a little more sense.
Yes. Look, I'm happy. But you know me, like I love Jimmy G. I feel like he kind of got a little bit of a raw deal considering he brought us to 2 NFC Championship games and a Super Bowl in 3 years. The only year he didn't was when he was injured. But when the first snap, and I'm sure you didn't watch the whole game, but the very first snap that Trey takes, he runs and he gets a first down. But I was like, okay, I need to see this guy throw. We know you can move your legs, but like, can you throw? And then, you know, he had a couple short passes, and then he just threw that absolute bomb down the sideline. You're like, okay. But I'm also trying not to get too excited because it's just preseason and it's just one throw. He's not up against real defenses yet. Although I do think the Packers defense looked a little bit better than they have in years. But you know who was not very good? Was Jordan Love of the Packers. I mean, we had 3 picks off of him. He's been there for 3 years, so I would expect a little bit more out of him. Not that the Niners defense, even not our starters, are not a tough opponent, but Jordan Love is a question mark to me about where he's going to end up.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, this is just my opinion, so I don't want people thinking that this is the fact of it, but it's got to be hard for Jordan Love, right? Like backing up Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers had to have been, it's no secret, he was pissed off that they even drafted the guy. So you got to wonder, how much is Aaron Rodgers even helping Jordan Love, acclimate to the game? So it's probably tough. I have to imagine it's got to be like walking on eggshells for Jordan Love around the Packers organization.
Yeah, but this preseason is very important to him because I think that's going to figure out where he's going to play next. I don't think that he's staying with the Packers because it doesn't seem like Aaron Rodgers is going anywhere. But let's take a look right now at NFL division winner odds. So you got the Colts at -130, Cowboys +130, Ravens at +155, the Bills at -230, Rams +120. That that's interesting that it's a plus for the Rams there. Bucks minus 300, Packers minus 120, and the Chiefs plus 175. Which of those teams would be your lock to win their division?
I mean, aside from the obvious one, the Bucks, they're minus 300. I would never bet that. Never. Maybe throw it in a parlay with a couple other ones. I really like the Ravens.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Ravens are just being, you know, really slept on here. I know the Bengals looked great last year. Everyone's probably on that Bengals bandwagon now with Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase. But the Browns, we don't know what's going on with Deshaun Watson. If Deshaun Watson doesn't, and if he misses 6 to 10 games, like, the Browns are done, right? Yeah. Like, I'm assuming the Browns are done. The Steelers, we don't know what's going to happen, even though Kenny Pickett looked really good and Trubisky threw a touchdown in his preseason game. So maybe they get good quarterback play. But just looking at the Ravens, the players they're getting back that they lost to injury last year, Dobbins, Marcus Peters, other starters on the defensive end, they were missing those guys for the whole season. Lamar Jackson coming back, you know, he missed the second half of last year. Before he went down, though, they were one of the top teams in the AFC. So at plus 155, I think that's a steal of a price to take a really good team, great head coach, with a quarterback who has won an MVP award. We know he can perform at this level with something to prove. He still doesn't have a contract. So, you know, I'm going to say that every time I get asked about the Ravens, I think Lamar Jackson is going to absolutely ball out this year. Hopefully I'm right and I don't fall on my face for, you know, the viewer's sake and my bet's sake, because I have a lot of money on the Ravens to win that division. So yeah, I like that
one. Yeah, I like the Ravens for sure. It's interesting to me that the Rams are at plus money still at 120, defending champs. The NFC West has gotten a little bit weaker. Yes, we saw that great pass from Trey Lance, but he's still a rookie. There's still going to be, you know, a little bit of mistakes made, especially in the beginning of the season. And the Seahawks and the Cardinals both got weaker. So that, I think, is a good one at plus 120. And I like the Packers still. They're at minus 120. I still think for someone who owns the North and has won three seasons in a row, has been to the NFC Championship game as often as they have been. Yes, I know there's no more Devontae Adams, but you still have Aaron Rodgers. And I know a lot of people, yourself included, are high on the Vikings this season. But for the Packers at minus 120, I still feel like that's a pretty good price.
It is a good price, and it is Aaron Rodgers, and you know, he's one guy that anytime you find yourself betting against Aaron Rodgers by the end of the game or whatever bet you took, you're pissed off at yourself that you bet against Aaron Rodgers. It usually never works out well for me. But I like the Vikings so much this year, but it's Kirk Cousins. It's just Kirk Cousins, and you never know what you're going to get. He's a mixed bag. So, yeah, if like there was a gun to my head and they said, Kenny, your life's on the line.
Can you imagine?
The Packers or the Vikings, who are you taking? I would have to take the Packers. Yes,
I love that. I just laughed thinking about that scenario of somebody being like, your life is on the line. Who are you taking, the Packers or the Vikings? And you're like, I'm taking the Packers. Okay.
But yeah, can you imagine, right? Like just any of those situations. But I will say this, life on the line. I want my life in no one's hands other than Tom Brady.
Yes. But if you couldn't get Tom, you would go with Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. Him on the ayahuasca trip. I feel great.
God. Yeah. That is, well, it's interesting too. We talk about PEDs, right? Because so many people have been suspended for so many things. And the NFL came out and said that that is not something that they find to be performance enhancing, which, I mean, he's changed who he is as a person. He's better with his teammates now. So I would say it has enhanced his performance a little bit, and certainly his relationship with his teammates. But let's take a look.
Only that, like Josh Gordon was his career ruined, right? He was one of the best wide receivers in the league. Career ruined because he couldn't stop smoking weed, right? Stay off the weed. But Aaron Rodgers out here openly admitting taking hallucinogenics, and everyone loves it. He gets applauded for it. So
yeah, well, that's the difference between Aaron Rodgers and being somebody else. Okay, so let's look ahead to week one, the defending champs, the Rams versus the Bills. This is interesting. 95% of tickets and 99% of dollars, all moneyline bets for week one. Bills are listed at minus 135 and Rams at plus 115. What I said didn't make sense. Basically, the entire public is on the Bills to win this one. So you go in with the crowd or you take in the defending champs here. What do you like?
Come on, you should know, especially when it comes to NFL. When it comes to the NFL, there's only one thing and one thing to do. You fade the public. Any chance you
Doesn't
get,
always
when they're
work.
Loaded up on a game, you're right. It doesn't always work in it on a game by game basis, but on a making money by the time the season is over basis, it works. Not to mention Super Bowl defending champs straight up week one, one of the best betting angles. I think they're like 19 and three over the last 22 seasons. The defending champs straight up. You know, last year the Bucks didn't cover the spread against the Cowboys week one, but they ended up winning outright. So, you know, I'm shocked. It's a tough game because of the way the Bills season ended, right? Like it's hard to, to kind of fade that. Something else that I found interesting too is usually they have the ring ceremony that night, right? Like the teams that won, like the Rams, they will get their rings that night, week one. They already got their rings. Right. They already had their ring ceremony. So like what kind of factor does that, you know, it's not something that can be measured, but week one, like if you're a player, you're getting your Super Bowl ring, that has to fire you up. That has to get you some sort of extra motivation that the other team does not have. Now week one, you can toss that out because they already got their rings. So maybe, you know, maybe that has something to be said. It's a tough spot because of the way the Bills season ended, but you mentioned all the tickets, all the money on the Bills, the Rams coming off the Super Bowl win. I love Sean McVay. They still have Stafford. You know, there's some questions about his elbows. The defense is still the defense. They still have Aaron Donald. So yeah, give me the Rams there. You have to, especially with the trend of the defending champs. How do you fade that?
You're right. So I found the stat that you're referring to. So since 2003, the reigning Super Bowl champions have kicked off the NFL regular season by hosting 16 weekday primetime games. In those games, they are 10-5-1 against the spread. So it might be more than that, maybe 16 straight up. But also Sean McVay, to your point, has started the season really strong. He's 8-2 against the spread in weeks 1-2. However, I still like the Bills here because of the way that the last season ended. I think there might be a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover. I do believe in that. And this Bills defense is just incredibly dominant, especially at home. So I'm not running to the window with this quite yet. I'll wait closer to game time, see what the injuries are, see what Stafford's elbow looks like, who's playing, all those kinds of things. But I would lean on the Bills right now. So let's talk about their over-under. It's set to 52. What do you like?
I would lean under. I would lean under there. Like you said, I would definitely wait till the game gets closer to see, you know, where the money is and how has the line shifted. Things like, yeah, exactly. Those things are very important. But the Bills lose Brian Daboll, so they lose their offensive coordinator. So there are some question marks. You know, will Josh Allen, will it be just a seamless transition for the new coordinator, Josh Allen? Will there be any drop off? We don't know. So there are question marks around that. We talked about Matt Stafford's elbow. Maybe he's a little banged up. So maybe the game plan is different that Sean McVay employs. Maybe they lean on Cam Akers, you know, to start the season a little more. So with all those things, yeah, like I said, you definitely got to pay attention to see what the situation is when that game is closer. But right now, given the information we have, I would lean under there.
I'm going to lean under too. I think a lot of people think about these offenses and how many games last season the Bills had, you know, 30 plus points and were just blowing past people. But these defenses are really strong. The Rams, of course, that front seven led by Aaron Donald, that's going to be tough to get through. And also Buffalo's defense held opponents to an NFL low last season of 289.2 yards per game. And that actually increased at home. So also I think prime time, first game, there's a lot of jitters and things, and I feel like it tends to be a little bit lower scoring. When I look at the 16 Thursday night games last season, there was only over-under was 5-11, so only 5 overs and 11 unders, so I'm going to lean under on this one as well.
Yeah, and I have to, I'm not in NFL mode yet, so I have to like dig up my trend.
Yeah, you
got to
get in there.
No, yeah, but I will in the next like week or so for sure, but One thing I really did well on last year was Thursday night football games when the total opens at 52.5.
Okay.
Like so don't quote me because this could be a little off, but I just know it and I'll come back on and I'll give you the real one. When the total would open up at 52.5 on a Thursday night game, those games go under at like a staggering clip. It's like 70-75%. That those games go under. And you just think about it, like, you know, quick turnaround Sunday to Thursday, those guys are banged up. Like, it can't be easy playing a football game on Sunday and then flying and then playing another one on Thursday. But that's like one thing to look for on Thursday night when those totals open high. Okay. Usually instantly, as soon as I see a total open 52.5, 53, I just hammer the under. And usually that's a money bet.
Okay, that's a good one. Just looking at some stats too for last year's Thursday night games, moneyline favorites went 13-3. The spread, the favorites went 9-7. Like I said, totals, the over went 5-11, and home and away 8-8. So that didn't seem to play too much of a factor there. Moxie Bets is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. Must be 21 or older.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Okay, let's keep things rolling here with Mox Locks. Kenny and I will give you our best bets for the MLB slate tonight. And Kenny, I'm looking at one game tonight, and that's the Mets versus the Braves. I like the Mets on the money line, and I actually like the over 8 runs. So the Mets have beaten the Braves in 4 of their last 5 meetings. They're also 39-15 in their last 54 games versus NL East. New York also 8-0 in their last 8 Monday games. You've got Spencer Strider on the mound for the Braves tonight, and he just hasn't been that great. He's given up 11 runs in the past 19 innings pitched, and the last time that he pitched against the Mets, he gave up 4 earned runs and allowed 6 hits in just 2 2/3 innings. You've got Carrasco for the Mets. He's 13-4 with a 3.76 ERA, but these are two of the highest scoring teams in baseball. The Braves at number 3 with 557 runs this season. Mets 4th with 552. I feel like it's high scoring, and I like the Mets.
So you think the Mets win that game too?
Yes, money line. Yeah, took a money line and the over.
Mets and the over. This is a tough one. I'm probably not going to bet this one because I took the Braves like 2 weeks ago when they played in that series. I took the Braves a couple times and that blew up right in my face.
So take the Mets.
but looking at this line, it's very fishy to me. Like, why are the Braves minus 160 here? Carrasco, significantly better pitching at Citi Field than he is on the road. And then we have Spencer Strider pitching, and this is what is holding me up. I don't know if you remember, but Spencer Strider, he's like a young pitcher for the Braves. He's had a decent season too. He's been pretty good for them. But after he pitched that Sunday night game against DeGrom, and the Mets won that one, of course. And after that series, Spencer Strider was on the record of saying the Mets are just getting lucky right now. Like, they're not that good. They're, you know, things are just going their way right now. So with that being said, I don't know what's going to happen in this game. The line is telling me to take the Braves here. Like, because when I look at this, everyone is looking and thinking, oh, the Mets at a plus price. Yeah. Like, this is a steal, right? The Mets, they just beat up on this same Braves team. They're way better. But and then on the other hand, you got Spencer Strider, who's popping off his gums to a team that is probably better than his team. So this could go either way. Everything that I've learned through betting, I would take the Braves here, though.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
Yes. And then my lock of the day, another dog. This is another dog, but we're going to fade the Dodgers. They were just on like an 11 game streak of covering the run line. They lost yesterday to the Royals. Then they travel cross country. I like the Brewers. I like this spot for them. Peralta pitching for them, going up against Urias. The Brewers, a team, they're in the hunt. They're fighting it out with the Cardinals for who's going to win the division. Are they going to get a wild card spot? So I think honestly, at this point, the Brewers just have a little bit more to play for than the Dodgers do. And giving that cross country travel spot that the Dodgers had to make yesterday, I think this is a great spot to take a team that is a very good team, but you're getting a very good plus price on them. So I like the Brewers tonight to get it done.
Okay, I like that as well. This has been Moxie Bets presented by Caesars Sportsbook. We'll see you Wednesday.